I've seen entrepreneurs with ADHD make six and seven figures. I've seen entrepreneurs with ADHD run themselves into the ground. The difference between those two groups is not what you think. It's not medication. It's not discipline. It's not a better morning routine. It's what they believe about hyperfocus. The most successful ADHD entrepreneurs don't wait for hyperfocus to show up. They create the conditions that invite it. And once you know what they're doing, you can too. Hey, welcome back to the ADHD-ish podcast. I'm your host, Diane Wingert, and today we're starting something new. This is the first of a five-part solo series I'm calling Reframing Your ADHD Traits as Business Strategies. Five ADHD traits that everyone's talking about: hyperfocus, time blindness, novelty seeking, procrastination, and difficulties with object permanence. But talking about them inside your actual business with a fresh point of view and real strategy. So if you want to make sure that none of this slips past your ADHD brain, it could happen. Subscribe or follow the show right now while you're thinking about it, because we both know what happens to those good intentions in about 15 minutes. Okay, back to hyperfocus. The story most ADHD content creators tell about hyperfocus is kind of precious. It's almost mystical. Hyperfocus is described as a gift, a flow state, something that just arrives spontaneously and lifts you up and lets you do 6 hours of work in 97 minutes. And when it shows up, you better run with it. When it doesn't, you wish it would, I guess. You scroll, you start a new project, you wait, kind of like an artist waiting for their muse. Now, I am not going to tell you hyperfocus isn't real. It most certainly is. It is a neurologically distinct and measurable state. It's also one of the most useful states an ADHD entrepreneur can access. But what I am going to tell you is that the people I coach who are actually building real businesses, people pulling in genuine revenue, people scaling, people not white knuckling their way through, don't treat hyperfocus like the weather. I have been doing this work long enough now to see patterns across dozens and dozens of entrepreneurs just like you and I in completely different industries and business models. And the highest earners are not luckier than the rest of us. They're not more neurotypical. They're not better medicated. They're not somehow blessed with better executive functioning or a better team. They are stacking the deck because they figured out, some of them on purpose and some by complete accident, how to engineer the conditions that trigger the hyperfocus state. And then they've built their week and their month around making sure those conditions are available when their business needs them. That's the reframe. Hyperfocus isn't a personality trait that you have or don't have. It is a state, and states can be created. My client Rob always made sure he started his day by going into the office and interacting with his team before moving into a conference room for a deep work session. The structure, the consistency, the social input, and then transitioning to a distraction-free environment once his brain game was fully on was something he did so automatically, he didn't even realize how intentional and strategic it actually was. That's his pattern. He was stacking the deck the whole time. He just didn't recognize it. So we need to make the invisible visible so it's not random or unpredictable. When I cross-reference the neuroscience with what I see in my clients running businesses, you'll come to the same conclusion I have, that there are five different strategies. So I'm going to walk through them quickly because the meat of this episode is what to do with them, not a science lecture. Are you ready? All right. Condition number one, high interest or novel stimulus. Your brain has to find the work interesting, or new, or both. ADHD attention is interest-based, not importance-based. And this is foundational. Shoulds don't move us. Ooh does. If you've ever wondered why you can spend 4 hours researching something you don't even need, but can't open the spreadsheet your accountant is begging you for, this is the reason. Condition number two, real stakes or urgency. A deadline that actually means something. Money on the line, a client waiting on you, the classic last-minute hyperfocus most of us have experienced throughout our lives when the brain suddenly powers up at 11 p.m. the night before something is due. This isn't laziness. It is the urgency trigger doing exactly what it is designed to do. Your nervous system needed a really good reason. It finally got one. Condition number three, a clear payoff that your brain actually believes in. Not a payoff someone told you should be motivating, a reward your dopamine system is genuinely interested in. Your brain knows the difference. You can lecture yourself about long-term goals all day long, but your dopamine system will continue to be unimpressed. Condition four, the right sensory environment. Light, sound, temperature, the chair you sit on, the smell of the coffee, whether you're wearing pants. ADHD brains are exquisitely sensitive to sensory context, and most people massively underestimate this. The wrong environment will shut down a hyperfocused state before it even has a chance to start. But the right environment is half the battle. And condition number five, a body that has actually been nourished, hydrated, and adequately rested. I wanted to skip this one because it's so unsexy, and I won't. You cannot trigger hyperfocus from a depleted nervous system. You may be able to chase it with caffeine for a while, but then you will pay. The founders I know who can hyperfocus on demand are not the ones grinding away on 3 hours of sleep and a Celsius. They're the ones who made dinner at a reasonable hour and went to bed on time the night before. Not to scroll into the wee hours, but to frickin' sleep. I know, it's so boring. It's also the truth. So that's it. Five conditions: interest, stakes, payoff, environment, and body. And here's what's interesting. Most entrepreneurs with ADHD are accidentally getting one or two of these on any given day, and they think their hyperfocus is random. It's not random. It's just that they're only stacking two cards out of a potential five, and then complaining when the deal isn't going their way. What I'm about to describe is how to stack four or five on purpose. Now stay with me, because I want to describe how these strategies look with real ADHD entrepreneurs running real businesses who have figured out how to create hyperfocus on demand. Ready? Strategy number one, they manufacture deadlines. When real urgency isn't there, they install engineered urgency that their nervous system actually buys. This is not a fake it till you make it kind of stunt. I'm talking about making public commitments, pre-selling offers with delivery dates on the calendar, body doubling sessions where someone is literally watching them work. Skin in the game. The most important point about this strategy is this: your brain has to believe it's the real deal, which means the consequences have to be real, even if they are invented. You cannot trick yourself with a false deadline that has no teeth. Your ADHD brain is a lot of things, but gullible isn't one of them. It will sniff out a fake deadline in about 12 seconds and go right back to doom strolling. Strategy number two, they body double. Now, I want to name this one specifically because I keep meeting founders with ADHD who think working alongside other people is a productivity hack, like a fun little trick. It's not a frickin' trick. It is a legitimate intervention for ADHD attention. I'm talking co-working groups, focused space or focus mate, a friend on Zoom with the camera on, that's a must, even sitting in a coffee shop where strangers can vaguely see your screen. It is the presence of another nervous system creating a sense of accountability. If you have been beating yourself up because you can't focus alone in your home office and think you should be able to, you need to stop. The most successful entrepreneurs with ADHD I know almost never work completely alone. They've built their work environment around the reality that their attention regulates better in the presence of other people. So just accept it and run with it. Pay attention to whether this strategy works better for you when the other human or humans are known to you or strangers, or if it just makes no difference. Strategy number three, they build environmental cues. It might be a playlist every single time, the same chair, the same candle, wearing the same hoodie, the same yoga pants, the same coffee shop, the same special pen. These are behavioral conditioning strategies, and they can absolutely bring about hyper-focus on demand. After enough repetitions, the environment alone starts to summon that focus state before the actual work even begins. So that Spotify playlist that you use every single time you want to do deep work, that's not window dressing. It is a switch. I have a client who always writes her email sequences in the same booth at the same diner with the same iced tea. And her conversion rates went up when she stopped trying to do that work in her home office. This is not coincidence. That booth is doing some of the work for her because of the neural pathways her brain has created that evoke and invite that hyperfocus state the minute she slides into that booth. Strategy number four, they save novelty for when they need it most. Now, this one is not going to make me very popular with you listeners, but stay with me. They are not consuming new ideas, new tools, new courses, and new podcasts at random. They ration the new stuff for the moments when they really need a focus hit. New notebook for the new offer, new software for the program launch, new location for the writer's block. Novelty is dopamine. Dopamine is the trigger. They know that, and they spend their novelty strategically instead of scrolling so often that the dopamine becomes even harder to come by. If you've ever wondered why you just can't focus on a project anymore, even though you used to love it, you might have just used up your novelty. So the fix is not to push through. The fix is to inject something new into the conditions. A new location, a new ritual, a new co-collaborator, a new container around the same work. And strategy number five, they habit stack sleep and food. I already warned you about this one, and I damn well know it's not sexy. The night before high stakes work, they make sure they get plenty of sleep. They eat real food with actual protein and fat. They are not white-knuckling their way through a six-hour deep work session on cold brew and a frickin' granola bar. They intentionally prime their body before asking their brain to perform. Athletes do this without even thinking about it. Nobody has to tell a marathon runner that she's a weakling for carb loading the night before a big race. We acknowledge that a body has to be fueled for the work it's about to do. So why is it so difficult to understand that ADHD entrepreneurs are running cognitive marathons most days and almost none of us are training for it? A lot of people are curious about how I engineer hyperfocus in my own business. So I'm going to tell you my setup. I decide ahead of time what I'm going to use my hyperfocus state to accomplish and how much time I am willing to devote to it. Notice I did not say how much time I think it is going to take me. I am in comfortable, non-restrictive clothing. It is mid-morning. I have consumed a high-protein, low-carb breakfast, coffee, and my medication. My desk is near the window, so I can take advantage of natural lighting. I have exercised, taking my dog for a walk with a friend, so I have received the benefits of movement, sunlight, and social time. Once I go into my hyperfocus session, I continuously take small sips of water from a 40-ounce tumbler with a squeeze of lemon, lime, or grapefruit. The routine is the same every time. Now, notice what's not on this list. Discipline, willpower, white-knuckling it, or just putting my head down and doing the work. None of the highly successful entrepreneurs with ADHD I know do that. None. They're not better than you at forcing themselves to do something they don't want to do. They are better at not having to force themselves because they've engineered the environment where focus shows up on demand. This is the difference between the entrepreneur who thinks their ADHD is the problem and the one who has learned to work with their wiring instead of trying to work around it. Oh yeah, before I forget, even hyperfocus on demand has a cost. You don't get 6 hours of locked-in genius work with no consequences. That would be nice. Sometimes there's a recovery hangover, a real one. Your brain is likely to be depleted, your nervous system wrung out. You may be irritable, foggy, and can't even make basic decisions. You can't remember if you ate, when you ate. You might be standing in the kitchen staring at the fridge as if you'd never even seen one before. And anyone who's ever come out of a serious hyperfocus session knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's also a relational cost. While you were dialed in, you were not responding to your partner's texts. You may have missed that thing you told your kid you would check. You ghosted your team as well. The world kept happening, but you weren't part of it. There's also a business cost. When you are hyper-focused on one thing, every other part of your business is neglected. The other clients you're serving, your follow-ups, the pipeline work, the administrative stuff that pays your bills, while you are crushing it on this one shiny thing, the rest of your business is sitting dormant. Now, hyper-focus can appear to be productivity on steroids, and so many people want it. But whether it's accidental or engineered, we have to make sure we are hyper-focusing on the right thing at the right time. One founder I worked with a couple of years ago showed up to a coaching call, so excited to share with me what she had accomplished during a 7-hour flight from San Francisco to New York. She skipped the meal and beverage service, she skipped the in-flight movies, and she skipped chatting up the strangers sitting next to her. She cranked out an entire online course, including the course content, the sales page, the email sequence, the social media posts, and even an affiliate agreement. Oh, and the talk she was giving in New York the next day, the one she should have spent that hyper-focused time preparing for, she ended up having to stay up half the night to finish her slide deck. She gave the talk, but it was far from her best performance. And when she got back home, she had discovered a competitor had launched a nearly identical course to the one that she hyper-focused her way through on the plane. To be clear, successful entrepreneurs with ADHD are not immune to any of this. But what the best of them have done that most of us haven't is built in some guardrails around their hyper-focus on demand. For example, they don't schedule a hyper-focus block on a Tuesday and then a client-heavy day on Wednesday. They protect the come down. They batch lower level cognitive work on the day after, and they have systems for follow-up that don't require them to remember to follow up. They have built their businesses around the reality of their nervous system instead of ignoring it. So here's the takeaway. Hyperfocus on demand is a power tool. Power tools have kickback. We need to plan for that kickback before we pull the trigger. I am not going to tell you to redesign your week or buy a new planner or block out 4 hours of deep work tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. because that's what the hustle bros do. I want you to run one experiment this week. Pick one 90-minute block, just one. The work you do in that block should be something your business actually needs now. Not busy work, not checking email, not even the thing you've been avoiding for so long you can barely stand to think about it. A piece of work that, if you did it well, would genuinely move something forward. Then, before you start, deliberately engineer at least 2 of the 5 conditions I talked about. 2 is enough. Don't try to stack all 5. You will most definitely fail and quit and then tell me it didn't work and that I'm full of shit. And that wouldn't be fair to either of us. So pick 2. Maybe you queue up that playlist that you always use for focus work and you eat a real meal beforehand. Maybe you put the work on a pre-sold deadline and you tell a friend you're going to do it. Maybe you change your location and you ration a piece of novelty for that time block. 2 conditions, engineered on purpose, directed towards something that genuinely matters in your business, then notice what happens. Did the focus state come faster? Did it last longer? Did you slip out of it less often? Did you actually finish what you set down to do? This is not a productivity challenge. It's an experiment. You are gathering data on your own brain. If 2 conditions get you further faster, we know what 3 will do. And we know what to engineer next time. That's it. Don't wait for hyperfocus to show up. Set the table for it, because now you know where the table is. And remember, this is the first of a 5-part solo series, reframing your ADHD traits as business strategy. Today, we looked at hyperfocus. Coming up, I'm going to be flipping the script on time blindness, dopamine chasing, procrastination, and the out of sight, out of mind relationship that the ADHD brain has with object permanence. Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast app if you didn't already. You do not want to miss out on any of the other episodes in this series. And if you're starting to suspect that what your ADHD is actually doing inside your business may be a coachable problem, there's a link to my consultation calendar in the show notes.